yes, in fact, I do remember where we left off in Hebrews. Chapter 10, the end of chapter 10. That's right, we're about to launch onto the faith chapter. Faith is a great thing for both Jews and Greeks, and for thee. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender, and I'm going to try to get through Hebrews now without any sub-studies. Going to get through it so we can start Revelation, but I've been wanting to tell you this. This is a pretty cool story. My friend Heidi Colpo, a couple months ago, was flying to Nashville. I can't remember where she was flying from, but the airline screwed up her flight. I think she was flying Delta. She got bumped up to first class on the way to Nashville. So a couple months ago, she's on a first class flight to Nashville, and she's sitting next to this guy who I guess is a Baptist, some sort of religious dude. You remember Heidi, right? She was the one who played Tabitha in Why Aren't Resurrected People Furious? Remember, Peter raised her from the dead. That's Heidi Colpo. So anyway, she starts to talk to this guy, Baptist guy, about the evangel. And then she says, oh, by the way, you know, if you look on the internet, if you go to martinzender.com, she's out there promoting my website. It's great. I'm in a video. She tells him about, you know, why aren't resurrected people furious? And so the guy says, well, wow, I'm sitting next to two famous people. And she goes, what do you mean two famous people? He points across the aisle. And she looks over at the aisle, and it's Peter Frampton.
Come on! Let's do it again!
Yeah, Peter Frampton. Do you feel like I do? That guy, the rock star, Peter Frampton. Yeah, who, by the way, Peter Frampton, he recorded for George Harrison. All Things Must Pass, the first post-Beatle breakup Harrison album. This guy's been around. So there's Peter Frampton. So what does Heidi do? She starts telling him about the gospel. And she's telling him about martinzender.com. She says, you got to go to martinzender.com. She writes it down, gives it to him. So for all I know, he's listening to the show right now. Who knows? But he was traveling with his wife and a guitar. In that order, I do believe. Was it that order? Yeah, sure. It was his wife, and a guitar. So Peter Frampton is out there. Kind of made it hot for him at the Great White Throne. If he doesn't grasp onto this, he has martinzender.com in his sweaty little pick-filled hands there. So, all right. Do you feel like I do, Peter? Do you feel like I do? I hope you do, because I'd love to see you during Eon 4 and 5. All right, so let's go jump into Hebrews chapter 10. We left off around verse 35. Maybe we got through it. Anyway, we need review here. So I'm going to go into 35. You should not then be casting away your boldness. Well, okay, the word then refers to something that went before, namely the better promises. They anticipated, the Hebrews did, the pillaging of their possessions. And verse 34, with joy, knowing that they had better and permanent property awaiting them. So because of that, you should not cast away your boldness, Paul says, which is having great reward, for you have need of endurance, that doing the will of God, you should be requited with the promise. Now, I want to make sure you understand this concerning endurance. The Hebrews had to endure in order to be saved. They had to hang in there or they wouldn't enter into the kingdom. We, too, are exhorted to endure. But for us, it's not endure or else. It's endure in order to rule and to reign. We don't even have to endure to be saved. That's a big difference here with endurance. So I told you I'm going to be contrasting points, so let's make sure we understand this. 2 Timothy 2:11, faithful is the saying, for if we die together, we shall be living together also, speaking of dying together with Christ. Also, if we are enduring, we shall be reigning together. So look at the difference here. If we die together, we shall be living together. This is simple death and life. And we did die with Christ. Read Romans chapter 6. We died with Christ. And you weren't there, you weren't even born yet. You were associated with him in his death, in the mind, in the eye of God. And so you'll be living with him. But now we enter into a different topic. If we're enduring, we shall be reigning. This is the difference between living and reigning. It's the difference between dying and enduring. Dying was simple. He died for us. And we are associated with him in his death, but enduring is something we do now while we're alive, and the reward for that is reigning together with him. Yes, it's a reward, presented as a reward. I know it's still God doing it because God does everything. It's still God doing it, but it's presented as something you can work for. You're not working for your salvation. Please don't misquote or misunderstand me. Or don't misunderstand me and misquote me. In either case, don't do it. If we're enduring, we'll be reigning. Now, if we're disowning, he'll be disowning us. That's 2 Timothy 2:12. Disowning him for reigning, for ruling, I mean. We're disowned for ruling by refusing to endure anymore. We bail out of this call. I talked to you about this when we did our protracted study on the book of 2 Timothy. But if we're disbelieving, verse 13, he's remaining faithful. He cannot disown himself. So once you believe, that's it. You can change your mind or think you change your mind, but once you're sealed, you can't get out of it. Now back to the Hebrews, poor Hebrews, poor Jews. They have to endure to the end. And Paul says that your endurance has great reward, that doing the will of God, you should be requited with the promise. And the Hebrews, again, needed reminded over and over and over again because they constantly were asking God, what have you done for me lately? Verse 37, for still how very little, he was coming, will be arriving and not delaying. That's a relative statement. It's been 2,000 years for these poor people, but he will be arriving. Now, the fact that he hasn't arrived is proven by the next statement. Now, my just one by faith shall be living. And faith, again, is important in both administrations. It's believing. We're going to jump into it big time here in chapter 11, what you're not seeing. And this quote, if he should ever be shrinking, my soul is not delighting in him. And we know from the book of Revelation, the overcomers shall be saved. You must endure to the end as an Israelite. Verse 39, yet we are not of those shrinking back to destruction, but of faith for the procuring of the soul. We are not of those shrinking back to destruction. Destruction here is the Greek word apolume. It means loss, to lose out. It's Christianity, theology, popular theology, that has interjected the foreign concept of timelessness here, eternal destruction, not inherent at all in the word or in this context. We are not of those shrinking back to destruction, but of faith for the procuring of the soul. The soul. For an Israelite, the soul was very important. They were a sensual people. That was always the selling point to Israel. You remember when the spies went into the promised land, they came back with, you know, grapes the size of beach balls, and the people were all excited, but they still didn't have the faith to go in. But they were sure licking their chops at those grapes. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. That was the selling point God sold them on to really meet them where they live. They're a soulish people, and God gave them to be that way. I'm not condemning them for that, neither should you. The delights of the kingdom, that word is used, the delights of the kingdom. It even delights Christ to give them the kingdom. So that's a good selling point for Israel. However, when Jesus said, he who loses his soul will save his soul, the thought there is that in order to enjoy the soul in the kingdom, the common denominator there is the word soul. So there's nothing wrong with soul. Now, soul is emotions, the fleshly delights, the sensations that come to you from your five senses, sight, touch, taste, feel, hearing. Things that delight the soul are the opposite of things which vex the soul. And Jesus said, if you lose your soul now, you'll gain it in the future. So again, he's not saying that soul is bad. It's just bad to sacrifice future good feelings for present good feelings, because the present good feelings are temporary. They're transient. And the future good feelings endure. They're aeonian. So anybody who takes more care of their soul now at the expense of the soulish delights of the kingdom that endure, well, that person's going to suffer loss. And that's just what Jesus was saying. So again, nothing wrong with the soul. But Paul here is telling them that they must not shrink back, because the result of shrinking back will be destruction. This is parallel to Jesus saying, if you save your soul now, if you dodge suffering now, you're going to be destroyed for the coming kingdom, where you would really have been satiated with sensual delights. Again, nothing wrong with sensual delights. But the Hebrews are being asked to trade the sensual delights of this eon for the sensual delights of the next eon. Again, common denominator, sensual delights. It's an Israel thing. Milk, honey, the crops. The whole culture was based on the agricultural cycle. They wanted to feed their bellies. They wanted to slake their thirst. That was their primary desire. You might say, well, Martin, it's ours too. Well, yeah, it is. And we're certainly not saying that because we're not Israel, we don't come into sensual delights in our celestial kingdom. We do. A lot of people are upset that they're not going to be here during the 1,000 years because the curse is going to be removed from the earth. Everything's going to blossom. It's going to be honky-dory down here. Well, anything Israel has, just multiply it thousands of times. You were not going to miss anything. Israel's not going to have anything on us. Take what they have and just multiply it exponentially to a crazy celestial degree. We're not going to be without sensual enjoyment. But the difference is that they had to forsake it in order to gain it. You had to lose it. Lose your soul. Lose the importance you put on it in this life in order to gain it in the next. Now, that's not our call. It's a great call because, you know, I don't want you to overindulge in this life, but you can indulge. You can enjoy things in this life without thinking that you're sacrificing joys in the next life. An Israelite had to be careful here. Yeah, they still had their wedding feast. They still had wine to drink. They still had the dancing girls. It was all wonderful times. In fact, Israel under law allowed itself more pleasure. God allowed Israel more pleasure than we take today ourselves because we're so stringent and stupidly backward in this Western culture. However, having said that, nobody who is pursuing God wants to overindulge. Israelites had to be careful, but the result is the same for an Israelite and a member of the body of Christ. The future is going to be full of good things. Delights that we will be able to touch, taste, smell, to see, to hear. It's all stored up for us. For Israel on the earth, for us in the heaven, times a million.